Hello, and welcome to Moonwise Podcast, a space to find beauty from the heart of nature. I'm your host, Dorte Sophie Royal, and I'm proud to say that this is our 50th episode. Thank you to all of our listeners for being with us through 2021 and beyond. In this episode, I speak with soul doula and childbirth educator Sarah Dickey about holding space for transformation. We talk about how our birth story influences the way we meet life and how we can lovingly hold ourselves in difficult moments. Sarah shares her insights about conscious conception, somatic memory, and reparenting ourselves. And just a note that in this episode, we mentioned the pregnancy journal I wrote called Rooted. So if you'd like more information about getting your copy, you can visit rootedmotherhoodjournal.com. Sarah Dickey is a transpersonal coach, heart-centered hypnotist, published author, and childbirth educator with a particular focus on prenatal and perinatal psychology. Her beautiful work has touched many women's lives, and I'm so excited to share this conversation with you today. Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful and excited to just be having a conversation today with you and your community.
I have been looking into your work, and there are so many amazing things that you offer to new mothers, to people in general. And what I really feel from you is this art of holding that I think is so needed in our society. And so to start, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about how you came to this work.
Yes. So this work, I guess, in a way found me through my experience and traversing. I'm a Capricorn. We connected about that for a minute, and always climbing the highlands, I guess, of the spirit. And I've always been intrigued by the beginning and by the end of things. And I came to this work as a transpersonal coach. And one of my teachers, Dr. William Emerson, had this course that he offered, and it was all about our birth journey. And it just like instantly sparked this curiosity in my heart to inquire in my own personal work, like in hypnotherapy, in my hypnosis sessions, and then also to be able to ask my parents about my arrival and the time period, the gestation, what was happening before. And it was really, I really had the perfect experience. I spent most of my life being like, oh man, I was a C-section baby. I knew I could do it. And then stepping back away from that a little bit, I'm now able to see, oh, universe, that was brilliant. Like I needed that experience to have this passion for holding and I'm going to say educating and advocating that time period is so important. Even the time before we conceive, or whether it's a child or a new idea, it's like what's happening within us and around us. So it's kind of a long answer, but it was a beautiful soul that just sparked this curiosity to just wonder how that beginning impacts the rest of the trajectory of my life and the lives of the clients I work with.
Yeah. And I was reading on your website a story that you told about your own connection to your birth story, where you were noticing a connection between the overwhelm you were feeling or your reaction to overwhelm and how you were brought into the world. And I was wondering if you could tell that story, because I think it's such a great example of why these moments are important to kind of connect so we understand ourselves better.
Yes, yes. And so I can speak to my experience and just want to give your listeners, your audience, a lot of space. Like if you need to take a breath right now, if you maybe find yourself looking out a window, but I just want to name that this was my experience and it might be similar to yours, but I'm speaking of my experience. And so in my experience, my mom and I began labor together. I'm a New Year's Eve baby. So as the story goes, they were home. My mom was making tomato soup and things started to move. And then as soon as she got to the hospital, this was back in the 80s, she wasn't progressing. And so there was this need from the medical team to want to give her Pitocin. And so in my work as a pre and perinatal educator, I can have words now to say that that intervention interrupted our relationship. And so in that relational way, like when the Pitocin came in for my mom, she'll recount that she feels this loss of connection to me. And in my system, my little developing system, it's like, whoa, what happened? Where did she go? Like, our mother is our first home. And so it's like feeling that disconnect. And so I can notice in my life then, we call that like an imprint. So there's like an imprint of Pitocin. And I can always be aware of that by turning on my social nervous system, by resourcing myself. But in those moments of life where, you know, you just throw yourself into something and you kind of lose your connection, for me, that's always a tip off, like, oh, I'm in my Pitocin imprint right now, where I get overwhelmed and I lose connection. So what can I do for myself? I always tell my clients and myself, like, we can't change our history, but we can change our relationship with it. So this just awareness, oh, I was born, I made it. And I have this like imprint that's really easy for my system to remember. And I also have tools in my toolbox to be like, oh, yeah, that was in my history. And here I am right now talking to you. It's October. and I'm right here right now. So it's been a practice. It's a practice daily for me because that is such a strong imprint for me. So I think it's so beneficial, you know, those like stopping, starting that like need to emerge. Sometimes I'll notice, you know, with a cesarean section, it's like somebody pulled me out. Like I didn't get to do it on my own, but there's a innate sense in me that I knew I could do that. So it's really helping people to just, create more coherence within their history, so that you can live more from this moment than in the past.
I'm so intrigued by this idea of what's happening around preconception, the energies and the intentions, and like early gestation, how important those times are, because I think I don't really hear people talking about that very much. I think, you know, conscious conception feels like maybe a newer concept that's coming into the mainstream awareness, but it's still very, yeah, not something that I hear about a lot.
Yes. And so I'm excited. Like that really excites me to be helping to just spark some curiosity. Like I can speak from my experience and I have so many, there are so many pioneers in this field of pre and perinatal psychology. Like I'm just standing on their shoulders like, whoa, like look at the 360 view out here from all the work that they've built. But to be able to name and get into a more just commonplace dialogue that like what happens in the before matters because it becomes like a template, a foundation for the rest of the journey. And so really just making space for that importance. I mean, in my like utopia world, it would be that we would teach classes, this would be part of childbirth education, that professionals would have like just a little bit of a foundation as they're supporting those that are going on this journey. And wow, I believe, who is it? Michel Odant, the French physician says, you know, if we want to change the world, we have to change the way that we're birthing babies. And he has so much, just so much love and compassion for holding sentience. That's what we say in the work. APA is an organization I'm connected with. And their whole premise is that a baby is sentient, even in the before. So helping people, even though that might be like a hard thought to hold, really just making a little bit more space for that, that the before, it matters just as much as the end does, as the, you know, meeting of your little one. But yeah, I could nerd out about that. Like there's just so much, and it all matters.
It's so interesting because it also brings in this idea of spirit or the unseen, which is something that's people are starting to open up to more. I think that we're starting to realize that it's not just the physical world that we're talking about, and it's not just like this kind of biological function of reproduction, but it is actually a very, whatever you want to call it, spiritual mystery, majesty. Like there is something that we don't really understand, and yet it's so powerful. I hope, you know, that we're all moving in that direction, because I think that it creates such depth and beauty and richness in life.
Yes, me too. I feel like there's this consciousness that's like collecting even while, you know, a child is gestating. And there is more empirical evidence to be able to substantiate that in conjunction with this like deep mystery of birth. Like I love how in your journal, you know, it's talking about the birth and the death and how those forces are at work and that threshold that we're crossing over. So I hope for our world, we cross that threshold to really holding that there is sentience, even if there is no words for it, that there is a deep sentience and it's collecting experiences in a body while it's growing.
In the journal, I call that time the dream, and I think of it as before the actual seed is planted physically, that there's a dream, a longing, a desire, something like, for me, I mean, I had dreams of my children. I would see like little shoes in a window shop, and just something would go through my body like, oh my gosh. you know, I would have a longing for this little warrior boy. So many different things happened before I even engaged physically in making that like that dream come true. And even to the point of like doing some kind of rituals and making offerings and connecting with nature and really asking like the universe for that to happen. And, you know, of course, not everyone has the opportunity or the resources to do that. But if we can, what a beautiful thing.
Oh my gosh, that's just like scrumptious. Like I love hearing how you were in preparation, you know, and that matters, that those offerings of ourselves, of our hearts to that spirit world where, you know, there's like this boom of collaborative energy and wow. And your little warrior boy, gestates, and then you two meet, like, wow, so beautiful.
Yeah. It really, and I love that co-creation. I think that's really true because, of course, we don't control all of the aspects of this. And that's, to me, one of the greatest lessons of birth and new motherhood and parenting in general is the unbelievable surrender while also holding an intention for the best. It's such a strange and interesting combination of things to be really growing you as you go through this process. So I was curious what you think about that.
Yes. And I love, just getting that like visual of growing yourself. It's like, I feel this just deep need that we perhaps, touch within ourselves. I'm not a mother in the physical sense. However, I hope that happens at some point in my life, but just this like mama heart, of wanting to hold space for that transformation that happens within you and all around you. And then that transformation it's like two magnets saying yes to each other. It's like, ooh, yes, we are going to like, we are so attracted. We can't help but meet one another. And all of that preparation, you know, as we're supporting those that identify as mamas, and holding them even before they conceive, like, you know, unpacking a little bit of the suitcase of their history, of their own story, of their own coming into the world. Because in the work that I do, a lot of times we say that our own birth history, our own imprints come up whenever we're getting ready to gestate another soul. So, you know, being able to have awareness, just wakefulness. Oh, wow. That's how it unfolded for me. Is there anything I need to support myself in this story of my arriving that would most help me to meet my little soul that I'll be carrying? So I think that preparation time is so beautiful in the before.
I love that you're talking about this, because as I've shared about my own story and released the journal, a lot of women have approached me to say, I'm not currently pregnant. I at some point would love to be a mother, and I'm curious what I can do to prepare. And I feel like that's a resource that really we can have more of in our culture, because how do you prepare for that path? And it is such a path of transformation and growth and awakening. And how beautiful that some people are thinking about, like, oh, I would like to start engaging with that before it physically happens. And yeah, it just makes me think of holding again this idea that you talk about so much, which is that deep longing to hold and to be held. And of course, that's for everyone, not just moms, not just people who are birthing, but truly all of us as humans. And yeah, can you tell us about that?
Yes. So holding is one of my favorite nuances, notions, concepts. And it really came from a course I was taking with Robin Grill. He is a psychologist from New Zealand, Australia. My geography is awful, but just a wonderful soul who has really dedicated his life to serving families and children. And in this course I was taking with him, he was going through developmental needs. And one of our first developmental needs that comes online for us in utero is this need of holding. And so it really, like, quite literally, like, blew my heart open, because when I had thought of holding before, I thought, oh, well, it's my hands, it's my arms that are holding. And then it went a layer deeper, and it was like, oh no, holding is like, how would you like to be held? How can I meet you? How can I support you? And there are so many, there's so many other concepts around it, but just this deep need that we all have to be held. And if we miss that, just kind of honoring ourselves and touching our hearts and just saying, oh, I missed that back then, but here's how I'd like to be held now. And I think it just really slows down the pace of life. And it's really meeting life and meeting yourself in this richness of having a voice, like, oh, I can ask for how I would like to be held. And it's my little nephew, Beau, that kind of just helped to really solidify that for me. He's 4 years old, and I just love, like, he'll come running at me and, Shay Shay, pick me up. And so I'll pick him up. And then as soon as I've picked him up, we've made eye contact. He's like, now put me down and come play with me. So, like, holding can be play, like, play with me. So there are just so many new doorways, I think, that open up when we just expand our notion of holding to really include, who knew play was holding? I mean, I think it's just limitless.
Wow. I basically, like, have tears as you speak. I'm just thinking of that idea of holding being so much more than just physical holding. And I think about my own son, you know, sometimes holding him is just sitting next to him and drawing side by side, or just me doing the dishes and there's a candle lit on the table while he plays. You know, it's like, there's such beauty in all those things, and to consciously be aware of that, I think, is really special.
Yes. It's like, just hold me with your presence. Like, can you just be in the same vicinity with me? And, you know, I think children are just so like, what barometers of truth, that it's like, oh, hey, I want this and now I don't want that, you know? And so they're always, I just feel so grateful to have these little folks in my life, my nieces and nephews, to just be always showing me, oh, that's what it looks like to hold you today, you know, and oh, I wonder if I would like that. So it really, holding to me has just opened a whole world of curiosity.
So it feels like as we learn how to hold those little people in our lives, there's so much about learning how to be held, to hold ourselves, and to, yeah, be the nurturers of our own souls as well.
Yes. And then I think, you know, if we do have that inclination to, if we are further along in our journey and we have that inclination to go back to our history, we are better stewards of holding ourselves with more compassion, more love, like that little us that made it through all of those events of our lives. Like, we did make it. They might have markings that they've left upon us, but it's like we can have new eyes to hold ourselves with as we embark on that journey.
It's beautiful. I'm wondering if there are any myths or misconceptions around like our relationship to birth that you've come across in working with many different people over the years.
So I can say from my experience, the one thing that has really continued to just amaze me in my work with others is how much our early life impacts our later life. I was just working with a mother a couple of months ago, and she had an experience from her very early life that was showing up in conjunction with being a first-time mom. And it was like there was no like conscious connection, but in the space that we create, it's just allowing the person to be able to know what they need to know, like slowing things down enough that you are the authority of your life. I'm just helping you to hold this space and maybe ask some questions that will help you to know what you already know about yourself. And so it was so beautiful. I just got an email from her the other day, and she said, you know, I got to do my birth the way mostly that I wanted to. And, you know, I remembered some of the things we talked about. So I think just that notion that the prenatal time for all of us, we're always collecting unconscious memories that live in our bodies. Oh my gosh, Peter Levine calls it our implicit memory system. And so our work is really just saying, hey, how can I make the implicit explicit? Once I can know it and touch it, oh, then I can know about it and it's no longer hidden. So I really think that that would be, that's maybe one of the biggest misconceptions that, you know, I think back in the 60s or something, they used to think that the placenta like blocked everything. Like you didn't feel emotions, you didn't take in any harmful substances. It was just like a, whoa, it was a coverall that your baby would not absorb anything. And so now we can just kind of say, oh yeah, that was such a myth. And that time period matters. So as we're growing our consciousness, as we're growing our hearts, I think it can just be really beneficial with willingness and courage and just compassion to take a look at back then. We can't change it, but we could maybe change a relationship that it's kind of like turning down the volume. It's like maybe that station has been really loud in our lives and we're just ready to just turn it down. Like it could still be in the background, but it's not like stopping us from living.
That makes sense. And it makes me think of now science also verifies that babies are processing the stress hormones of their mothers. They're noticing the nutritional content of what's coming in and forming their system based on what they're perceiving the environment's going to be that they're going into. And even babies of mothers who were in a wartime situation deal with certain issues that babies that weren't don't, or malnourishment, all that kind of stuff. So we know that physically there's such an effect. And so it makes so much sense that also in terms of your nervous system, in terms of your emotional capacity, all that it would affect.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's fascinating. Like the whole notion of like the epigenetics, like we used to think we were doomed because of our genes, and I am no scientist. This is just the like Sarah rough draft version of this, but, we are not at the fate of our genes. There's like, you know, as we're growing in utero, we're mother and baby are one. And so the birthing person and the baby are considered one unit. And it's like what's happening outside here is happening inside here. And so baby is like, ooh, can I build a nervous system to thrive, or do I need to just survive? And wow, thank goodness for epigenetics, that we can turn on things and we can turn off things. That's why I love how you talk so much about like the ancestral and intergenerational connection. Like, I think that's huge in this pre and perinatal field as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely personally doing a lot of healing work around ancestral lineages and my matriarchal and patriarchal lineages, actually thinking about how that will influence or affect my children and their children. There's a lot there for sure.
Yes. And I think, you know, it's so beautiful. Like when we think about, we were an egg in our great grandmother's womb. And so, you know, as I explore my lineage, it's like, ooh, what was happening to my great grandmother, and my grandmother and my mother, and what genes were turned on and what genes were turned off. And, you know, I think it was Winnicott said, you know, it's not about perfection. It's about being good enough. So I really want to emphasize that. I know I'm sharing a lot today in our conversation, but I would always want us to just be so anchored in compassion that, you know, we know what we know until we know something new. And we also take what resonates, and I always say, leave the rest. If it doesn't resonate, just drop it.
Yeah. I was curious about how you work with people in going back to that gestational or prenatal time in their own life. And I saw that you work with hypnosis. Is that the primary way that you do that?
That is my primary way back. I'm a heart-centered hypnotist, and that was a life-changing journey in and of itself. But a lot of the clients that I've been working with, some of them, parents are no longer here to be able to gather. So that is something I would like put out there to your listeners, that if you do have folks around, caregivers, parents, aunts, uncles that were there at the time of your birth, it can be really beneficial to just ask them, hey, what do you remember about whenever I arrived? It can really be this nurturing piece of your history that you can work with. But if that is not an option, just using the vehicle of hypnosis, a lot of clients automatically just go back to that early time period. And I think, you know, it doesn't necessarily, it's different for everyone. Maybe some people need a couple more sessions to just feel a connection, but a lot of clients that I've been working with, a lot of clients actually recently have had a lot of pregnancy loss. And so that has been another way of going back to meet the souls that didn't come earthside, as I like to say, and just kind of creating ceremony and rituals to connect, to just really clear the way for the next soul that's wanting to be with them on this journey. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a really beautiful healing process. But hypnosis is kind of my way in, I guess.
So a lot of it sort of lives in the subconscious, and that's a way to access it?
Yes, yes. And it's very alive in our bodies too. That implicit somatic memory can very much be under the surface, because like in that implicit time period, we don't have, or it's pre-verbal, so we don't have words for it. So it's like, oh, I always get this pain in my neck. You know, I had this woman, she had the cord wrapped around her neck, but she just always thought, I can't wear turtlenecks. Like, turtlenecks are awful. But as we did our, as we went back and just investigated and she checked things out, she was able to find out that, oh my gosh, the cord had been around my neck. And there was just this, freeing up. Like, you could see the red splotches across her neck, and then it like dissipated. So, I mean, things that are just unnameable and just so profound, that can really happen. It's like, you already know, it's just like, you need a space to make it known to yourself.
It makes so much sense that those first minutes or just those first experiences would impact everything, because that is really our very first introduction to life, and we're growing to meet that life. So it makes sense that it would influence everything.
Yes. And I'm racking my brain. One of my teachers, I can't think who it is, says that birth is an ongoing event. And so it's always unfolding for us. It could be, you know, one of my mentors, oh my gosh, my names are dropping out of my head today, but Ray Castellino, who he left us last year and passed in December, but his teachings were all about, how do you pack for a trip? Like, that can tell you a lot about your birth. And so there are ways where places we wouldn't even think that our birth shows up are in our everyday life.
Whoa, Sarah, I'm literally packing for a trip right now. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, why do I always get in this strange stress space, even though I know I have the time to do everything and I know it's all going to be fine and I won't forget anything, because I'm just conscientious Capricorn like that. But I, for some reason, I just whip myself into a frenzy.
Well, my friend, that could hold a lot of richness for you to explore. That's my like go-to. That was the one that my teachers shared with me first off. And I was like, whoa, this is like blew my mind open. Like, this just revealed so much about my birth history. So maybe just think about, like, how do you pack for a trip and what comes up for you? And then I think, you know, that once there's awareness there, then as you're moving through your day, like, what's it look like to wake up in the morning? You know, what's your routine or your ritual? So I think things that we do all the time, we can kind of just like maybe pay a little different attention to, and just really get some subtle clues that can be like really mind blowing.
I'm also so moved by this idea that birth is always unfolding.
Yes. I wish I could remember who said that, but yes, I feel like it is just a continual in my studies. And like I said, there are so many, I'm not sharing any new information. There are so many pioneers in this field, that have brought this to life, but just that it is a continuous ongoing event. Like, what if we woke up every day and held that in our awareness? Like, how would that just kind of, engage us in our interactions?
Totally, especially as we get older, and sometimes there's these stories that like, okay, now you're kind of stagnating, you just are the way you are or whatever. And if we can approach each day with, who am I, and what can I learn about myself, and what can I learn about life and the world? And in that quest, we also learn about the past. We learn about how we came into the world, and it's always changing. I mean, the more that I grow, my childhood looks so different from all these different perspectives, and I, as a being, look so different to myself. It's fascinating.
Yes. So can I ask, I mean, I know you're asking me, but can I ask about your journey? Like, what is the, as you're like looking back at those past versions of yourself, do you have like this boon of wisdom that you're like, oh, I'm really touching this right now in my life?
Well, yeah. I mean, right now I am doing a lot of work around holding my child self and seeing how much emotional overwhelm she was swimming in and didn't have the tools to process. And they weren't even her emotions. They were the emotions of the adults around her who were really suffering. And like, she just really wanted to help and heal, but didn't know how. And being a kind of like precocious, like wise seeming child, a lot of adults would actually ask me for advice, kind of maybe seeing my spirit, which is a very nurturing sort of wanting to, yeah, mother people kind of spirit, which I honor, but it became a little bit of a, I don't want to say curse, but it had a shadow side that I was maybe asked to have responsibility younger than I had the tools to deal with it. And now, as I step more into more responsibility or more, I would call it now, not responsibility because it has like a negative connotation to me now, but more like I'm stepping into more of holding more for my family and my community and wanting to be of more service to my larger community, I'm having to like go back and tell that little girl like, hey, it's okay. Like, we're grown up now. We have the tools to actually hold this much. You don't have to get so overwhelmed. You're literally not seven. You're a grown up. You can, in fact.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. I wish I could show you. I have my little Sarah. I have a little doll of little Sarah, and I brought her into our conversation today because she's just like a visual reminder to me that like, hey, I've got you. Whenever she, just like you're saying, that little, like, maybe it's a Capricorn thing that like people are like, oh, tell us what we should do, or, you know, can you help us out here? But feeling that like burden of like, oh my gosh, I'm this small little creature that doesn't quite have the resources yet to support you or hold you. But there's this wonderful company, I don't work for them, but this wonderful company called Budsies. And you find a picture of yourself, my therapist that I work with, he's the one that turned me on to this, and find a time in your life where you feel like that little you most needed support, and maybe was in most of their overwhelm. And then you send in a picture and they send you back this little you. It's wonderful. But it's just like a visual representation that you can just really work at reparenting and reconnecting with that little you.
That's so sweet.
She's over here in my little Snoopy Halloween blanket and just a reminder like, wow, we've been on a journey together.
Yeah. I have a little I have a picture on my desk of me when I was about 5 or 6. And it's definitely a reminder. And also, you know, I want to make her proud too, because I just love who she is. And I want her to be like, yeah, you turned out awesome, Dorte. Way to go. That's how I wanted my life to be.
I love that. That's beautiful.
Well, we have a little bit of time left and I want to make sure to ask you about Calm Birth, because I was really intrigued by that offering that you have.
Calm Birth is absolutely delicious. So it is a set of practices that you can use prenatally and then postpartum. Really, the founder, Robert Newman, says you can use them for every breath of life. And Calm Birth is just this beautiful ancient meditation practice paired with modern day science. So they have empirically backed research to show how powerful and potent these practices are. I think Christine Northrup gave praise to them. So really what Calm Birth does is it really brings a greater connection to breath and to the life that you're growing within you. There are three practices during pregnancy that you can practice. The practice of opening, and it's really just feeling life and your connection to your little one. And then there's this beautiful practice of giving and receiving. It's kind of almost that practice where you're breathing in I'm drawing a blank. It's a specific meditation practice where you like bring suffering towards you and then you transmute it with your breath. So you're actually able to, known or unknown to you, the story doesn't matter, but you can actually breathe back into your own, like arriving into the world to heal anything that might need healed with the breath. And then once baby arrives earthside, then you're able to have these four beautiful practices, to be able to support yourself. And it's really a wonderful experience in that you are able to, a lot of moms report that as they're putting on the tracks, there's an app you can download. And as you're listening to the tracks, then in Calm Parents, it's almost like there's this recognition for the child. And there's like a settling that happens just kind of organically on its own. But I can't even say enough about it. We have the teacher teas once a month, and we just had a teacher tea, and our founder, Robert Newman, he just, I think, hit his like 80th decade of life. But he is phenomenal. And the team, that support all of us to share this work in the world, they're just, I can't say enough amazing things about them, but they have been really wonderful practices. So you might use it, for instance, in labor. So it could be a practice that you have, that you're staying connected to your baby when those surges, when those contractions feel overwhelming. It's like really coming into that like fierce mother power that you have, that like fierce warrior that lives within you, and just remaining connected to your baby. And then there's a beautiful practice, you know, that you can ask others to do on your behalf to kind of remove any suffering that you might have as you're going through your labor journey. So beautiful practices, Calm Birth. It's really supportive. I believe a couple hospitals in the Northeast, had it in their labor and delivery, but like in my ideal world, and I'm sure in Calm Birth's ideal world, it would be available. And they're very inclusive, coming up with new recordings for chest feeding, identifying varying communities. So they're really doing great work out in the world.
That sounds like a wonderful resource and another way in which the people who are holding these small new lives can be held. And that to me, and I'm curious about your thoughts on this, is the most important thing, because if we are held, then we can hold. And that's something that, you know, I personally struggled with, of just how incredibly vulnerable and open I was, especially in the postpartum time, and needing desperately to be held, but not necessarily having the tools. So yeah, what do you encounter around that?
Yes, I feel like there is definitely such a need, and one that often doesn't even have words. I feel like, you know, the clients that I've worked with didn't even know what to ask for, but were so just cracked wide open, you know, just falling in love with this new little soul. And also trying to find themselves, like, who am I? Like, what just happened? And how do I gather myself? How do I hold myself? Because I'm not who I was before this happened. And so just really making space for all of that, like this next version of you that's, I think, you know, maybe we don't talk about as much in our society, is like really supporting the birthing person, like what transformation happened for you. You know, there's all this emphasis beforehand and showers and sprinkles and, you know, all of those, which are so wonderful. And then it's like, oh, here's your baby. Good luck. You know? And so how can we hold throughout? And what would that look like for each individual? You know, like maybe it is as simple as saying, hey, how can I hold you today? Like, what would feel good for you? Like, my support is my holding. And I think holding is also self-regulation. Like when I'm regulated, I know what I need.
Wow. Yes, this is so needed in our world. And I've learned this even more in these pandemic times where I had just two or three friends who we would check in on each other and we'd maybe go for a walk once a week. And that alone was so nourishing. It held us. And it wasn't even like, I'm going to make you a whole feast or I'm going to like give you a whole massage. Nothing. It was literally just being there for another person, being together in an experience and a great transformation that we've all been going through. So yeah, I really have been feeling the importance and the blessing of that. And that identity shift after birth is so momentous that I'm so glad there are people like you that are addressing it and making it more known, because I had no idea that that was going to happen, that my entire identity would shatter.
Yes. And I think, you know, I really like just want to honor that. You know, I think we have so many rituals of preparation that like that integration at the end, like how are we helping to integrate who you're still in the midst of emerging? Like, how can we hold you as it's like reassembling yourself. And it's like, oh, this doesn't fit here anymore. Like, what is that? And making that more commonplace, that we're not assuming, you know, that individuals, birthing people are okay. Like, what does that even mean? You know, but like really heartfully checking in, like, how's your heart today? How can I hold you? You know, I love that you and your friends were holding each other in your community by walking. Like, nature's holding us all the time.
Yes. That's something that I've really learned, is that even if you don't have like a mother, an aunt, or someone around, like you can lay on the earth. And we are held, like we are held every minute of our lives by the earth. And to really connect with that, wow.
It's so potent. I'm ready to go lay on the earth.
Well, I'm wondering, is there anything else that before we close that you would like to share about your work?
I just really want to create an invitation that maybe there's a door there that has some curiosity behind it. And just with courage and willingness, if it feels like something you'd like to explore a little bit more, I hope you would reach out. I still am working virtually. Thank goodness for Zoom. So holding sessions virtually now, and hopefully that will be shifting. But yeah, this work, I profess to know nothing, but I'm always curious about everything. And it's like this work just keeps me as a student and really passionate about teaching as well. So feeling my own student emerging in the midst of this, as well as like, oh, just so much power and potency and sharing this, because I really do have that close to my heart, that like how we welcome babies has the impact of changing our entire world. And so again, that notion of our birth is ever unfolding. It's like, how are we meeting ourselves every day in that next moment, in this moment? And when we can meet ourselves with more compassion, I think we'll be able to extend that in a larger way. So I would just say welcome. It would be wonderful to connect with you, and always reach out with any questions. My email is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at Sarah L. Dickey, DICKEY.com. I'm always happy to connect, even before we meet, just to see if we're a fit for one another. So that's really important to me as well, just to honor our energies connecting and if that will feel supportive. So thank you so much for what you do. Your community has just brought so much richness into my life. Listening to your podcast, they got me through the pandemic a lot. Out on my walks, I would listen and just feel filled back up whenever I was feeling kind of depleted. So Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah. This is so beautiful to talk with you. I feel like we're going to have you back on because there's so much to chat about.
I would love to. So grateful.
Thank you for listening to the show. You can hear more episodes on moonwise.co or subscribe to the Moonwise podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts and get a shout out on the show. Reviews help others find the podcast, and I read each and every one. Thank you so much for your support. Our theme music is Butterflies March from Sophie Cooper's album Rewilding. See you next time.